Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
As we look at the Gospel of John chapter 15, I want us to hear the call of something this morning. The call of discipleship. And once you're a believer in Jesus, you're a convert or you've been born again, and we use some of those phrases, and really what they mean is a person who hears the message of Jesus Christ, and in their heart, deep down in their soul and in their mind, they are compelled. Something within us compels us to say, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I need the forgiveness of sin, and I want my life to be changed. I need his help, and you begin to express faith that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, he rose again from the dead, and that God's word is for us, that we can apply to our life. And as you begin to believe that, you become a Christian. That's what it is. And so as you are a Christian, you begin to hear this call of discipleship. And this call of discipleship is a call that brings us into relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. And it's not just, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and then it just kind of ends there. It's backing up that belief and expression of faith that says, my life now needs to, by its decisions, by the way I discipline my passions, my thoughts, my actions, my words, my inner attitude, how I live when I'm alone and no one else is there, that all of that begins to follow after Jesus and how he taught and how he mentored. And we allow his Holy Spirit to give strength to us in areas where we're weak. We just can't do it on our own. And you hear this call of discipleship to become like Jesus, to become like Christ. It doesn't mean you got to wear a robe and sandals. That's not what it is. It's not the outward adornment. It's the inner transformation of our heart. It's the fellowship we have with God the Father. It's speaking words that Jesus spoke. It's doing things that Jesus did. And that Jesus is still doing. It's that. And it's called to be transformed. So Jesus is here and in this passage, and just to kind of give you a little bit of a layout of what's happened, he's gathered them together for Passover and to celebrate Passover, which we now know as communion. And he's talking with his disciples. And he goes into this segment of John chapter 15. And it starts with verse 18. You see, for those who say, oh, Christianity, all those who believe in Christ, oh, Christianity, it's just a crutch for them. I got to tell you something, people who say that, you don't understand Christianity. And I'm sorry if you went to church somewhere and it wasn't made clear to you what Christianity is. The weak are transformed by God's goodness and grace and mercy, granted. But to follow Jesus Christ, weakness isn't welcomed. He welcomes weak vessels. But the weak do not follow Jesus Christ. Because it takes strength. Strength beyond us, strength that comes from God to weak vessels. But this isn't about having a crutch. Because frankly, anytime Jesus was around, crutches got thrown down and people walked. And that's what he teaches us to do. Because we've needed a crutch because we were crippled by sin and maybe past experiences and all kinds of things have us bound up in life and fearful and anxious and afraid, or we turn it out to be aggressive, and however we cope, Jesus comes along and removes the crutch, and he heals us and teaches us to walk in him, to walk after him, the call of discipleship. And you know what? It takes strength. And it takes strength that comes from him, manifested in our soul, in our mind, in our thinking. So I want you to know, Christianity is for the weak in the sense that he takes weak. But if you follow after Christ, let's see, where's that word in Scripture? I got to find it. Oh, yeah. It takes guts. There it is. 3 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. You write it down, look it up later. Let's read verse 18 of John chapter 15. You'll get a glimpse here why it takes some courage. Because frankly, nobody likes to be hated. Nobody really likes to be disliked. If the world hates you, Jesus is speaking now. He's talking to his disciples, remember. His disciples. His group. Those who have been roaming around the countryside with him and village to village. You've heard his words and recorded things and saw miracles. They got to be with him on a lot of moments that aren't recorded in these pages. They were living with him. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. I want you to know the goal here is not to be hated. The goal is to follow Jesus. And when you follow him, the result is that there will be those who don't believe in Christ. And the result is they will hate you. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. I got to pause here for a moment. There's a time where I walked in the world and have friends who were worldly minded. I got to tell you something. The love that the world offers, no thanks, because it leaves you really quickly. Because when you don't satisfy their longing and desire and all that kind of stuff, goodbye to you. You no longer serve my purpose. So I've been around that. But not so with Jesus. His love continues to strive with us, even when we're not doing that well. So he doesn't leave us. As it is, you do not belong to the world. He's talking to his disciples. But I have chosen you out of the world. I want you to hear this. Because we just think it's about the disciples. If you are here this morning, if you are here this morning and you believe in Jesus Christ, I want you to hear this. You did not choose him. He chose you. I'm guessing in a crowd like this that if you can remember back to elementary school days, not all of you were picked first. And some of you weren't picked at all. Some of you just ended up on a team. You know, all you stand on the line and you two captains and you start picking. Before long, you're standing there alone. And the two captains are going, that's okay, you can have an extra player. No, you take them. Sure. It's nice to be selected. It's nice to be chosen. It's nice to be wanted. I got to tell you this in this room. All of you here this morning, all of you, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, God has chosen you. We do make a decision into following him and expressing faith, but I got to tell you something. He chose you all. All of you. Turn to the person next to you and say, God chose you. Say it. Nobody skips out. That's right. Like Ross here. He's sitting in the pew by himself. Nobody next to him. He has to turn to the back and say, God chose you, and hear it back. So no skipping. Don't think I'm sitting over here by myself. I don't got to look at nobody. This is the gospel. This is Jesus. It's called for interaction with him and with other people. All right. God chose you. Thank you. He chose you. I got to share this with you. When we come into faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. Though I came from a good family and, you know, nice middle class town back when I was a kid, you know, Kenosha, Wisconsin, woohoo, you know, back when it was, you know, under 80,000 people. Now, I feel old because I used to hear the stories of my dad when I was a kid say, oh yeah, see this store and see this place, this was all farmland when I was a kid. See the subdivision, it's all farmland. Now I go back there and go, hey, all this stuff out here by the interstate, this is all farmland when I was a kid, you know. I was making a point, honey. Where was I going with this? You wrote my notes. I'm kidding. Was it? Oh, yeah. Even if you're from a good family, here's the deal. Coming to belief in Jesus, she was listening. Notice I didn't ask Marlene. I got to share this with you. I'm going from story to story. This is bad. But it was a Wednesday night, and I was talking to her, and I was asking her something, and she goes, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. That's why I picked on her. Even though I came from a good family, nice little, you know, nice, not little town, but, you know, nice city, nice town, nice place to grow up in for the most part, all that kind of stuff. I did not have enough goodness in me, though there was goodness around me. I didn't have enough goodness in me to come to Jesus Christ all on my own. I needed His Holy Spirit to show me, reveal to me, convict me, draw me, get my attention that Jesus was picking me, that He chose me to come into relationship with Him. I didn't have enough goodness on my own. I don't care that I was born in the church, so to speak, and I don't mean literally, but born in the church that, you know, my parents went to a church, and as an infant, I still don't get that. My dad was so against, you know, anything in me that would, you don't play with dolls, you don't ever wear a dress, you don't, you know, all that kind of stuff. Not that I was tempted to. I'm just saying. I don't want you to confuse this. And yet they put me in this little white dress and brought me to church. I mean, I was born in the church and they sprinkled me and all this. But I want to tell you something, even though all that goodness was around me and I went to church, I want you to know, going to church didn't make me a Christian. There had to be an inner work, a work of the Holy Spirit in me, because there was not enough goodness in me alone to come to Jesus. He chose us. He chose you. I want you to forget that. I want you to hang on to that. It's how much He loves us. He loved you so much that Jesus came to rescue us, to choose us, to want to save us from what sin has done and destroyed in us. And He's still wanting to do that. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. What Jesus is saying is this. I have been your master. I've been your teacher. You've been my disciples. Listen, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. You are not greater than me that they're going to love you and hate me if you're following after me. That's what he's saying. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. In other words, Jesus showed up. Told them the truth. Showed them who the Father was. And if they reject Jesus, sin will have their way. Sin will have its way with them. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written, what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Pause here. If the world's going to hate us, or somebody's going to hate you, make sure that it's for the right reason. The goal is not to be hated. The goal is to follow and be transformed by Jesus in the way that we live. And in doing so, some will see Him. They'll have a flavor of Him. They'll have a fragrance of Him. They'll hear words that came from Him because they're coming out of our mouth. They're going to see Him because we begin to live like He did, obeying His Father, living according to wisdom. All these things and character transformation. All this discipleship that's going on in us. And they will see Him. And they will have a chance, opportunity, to understand that God is choosing them too. And they can receive or they can reject. Just like you and I can. We can choose. We can choose in the sense we reject or accept this truth that the Holy Spirit brings to us, deep in us, that God loves us, God wants us, God cares about us. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. In other words, from the beginning of the ministry, Jesus says to them. I want us to just grab three quick things from this passage. Okay, just three quick things. I've talked about some side points that are very important, but three quick things. One is, you will be hated. If you are a disciple of Jesus, the fact is you will be hated. And I want you to know that if you are in this room and you are driven, if you are driven for people's approval in every area of your life, I want you to know that there is a goodness in that, but there's a boundary with it. There's a boundary with it. And when you go beyond the boundary to get someone else's approval that is outside the bounds of how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to know who we are in Christ, who He is making us as an individual, and all of that insecurity begins to come and eat away at us, that we're ready to compromise things to get somebody's approval, we're misdirected. Our approval comes through God, by God, through Jesus Christ to us, okay? And yes, we are supposed to serve. We are supposed to do our best to please people, but not to the point where it becomes our whole goal to please everybody. Understand the fact, if we follow Him, there are people who are going to hate us. They're going to hate us. They're not going to like how we do things. They're not going to like what we represent. Listen, I have been in different places just like you, where you're meeting new people, and hi, hello, and some, you know, you have nice, natural, flowing conversation, and others, you know, they like you and warm up to you. There's others who are a little more reserved. It doesn't mean they don't like you. They're just kind of watching. They're hesitant. They got a whole history maybe of stuff that causes them to be that way. And then there are those you meet, and they act normal with other people right there in front of you, but they did some strong message. They don't like you. I've been in surroundings like that. And guess what? They never met me before. They didn't know of me. They didn't know I was a pastor or not a pastor. None of it was talked about. They didn't even know that I was a Christian yet. Don't tell me that the Spirit doesn't recognize things. That you and I seem to be sometimes dumb to or dumb-witted about. That's not insulting you. Sometimes I don't. But the Spirit realm knows. It sees the invisible stuff. When we walk away, we go, why do they hate me so much? What did I do? Spirit recognizes stuff. Say what you want. Explain it away how you want. Spirit recognizes things. Listen, if you follow Christ, you will be hated. But make sure you're hated for the right reasons. Because you're being transformed and made into the image of who Jesus is. We're made in His image, but we are being, through a process, He's finishing a work He started from the point of salvation. He is drawing us. He's changing us. And you know what? We're becoming more and more like Him. Not because we're good, but because He's good and He is merciful and gracious to us. And because of our faith in Him, He wants to cause us to be good like Him. I mean, after all, we're bearing His name, right? People who bear your name, you don't want them to be an embarrassment to you. It's not that you put some added pressure on them, it's just you don't want them to be an embarrassment to your name. Well, we are, His name is above every name, and we represent His name. We're called to be like Him. So understand in that, that we're supposed to be different than the world. I mean, yeah, we drive cars like people in town drive cars, and we eat at places that, you know, they probably go out to eat at, and all of that kind of stuff. We live here together, but we are not of the world anymore. It means that we live among them, but we're going to be different. Make sure that you're different because of Jesus. Please, don't be different just to be different. Follow me? Let the difference that Christ brings in us be evident. Second thing, one is we'll be hated. Two is you will be counseled. He said He is sending the Holy Spirit, the counselor. Jesus ascended, went to the right hand of God the Father. He's making intercession for us. He's still involved in our life, but the Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter, as a counselor. Okay? As a counselor. Someone who gives counsel. Consiglieri. For all you Italians. Okay, that's me. Counsels us. Teaches us, instructs us, gives us good, sound, godly advice. What to do? When to do it? How to handle a situation? How to handle a person? What to do with different resources and things in your life? He counsels us. Sometimes we need to lay on the couch and put a pillow under our head and grab His holy word and read it. That is the clearest counsel. It is written. It is written. It is written. I'm supposed to read it. It counsels me. His word, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit who breathed on people to write this book, counsels us. In moments we don't know what to do, and maybe we're driving the car or we're in the middle of a task and we're listening. He's counseling. And you know what? It's not just counseling always what to do and what to say. You know what He wants to really counsel the most? Is this thing we call our heart, our inner attitude. He wants to counsel this because if this becomes transformed, He doesn't have to coach us on so much what to say. Because this has been transformed. And that which proceeds out of here comes forth from here, from our heart. Hear the call of discipleship. It's life formation. It means that we are transformed. So we will be hated. We will be counseled. What a relief. Hear this. You do not have to know everything. I'm so relieved that I don't have to know everything. Because then it's real nice to be able not to pretend to know everything. And it's okay to say, I don't know. It is. Even as a pastor and people, you know, people, I'm glad they have that expectation. It's like, Pastor, I know this verse, or I can't find this verse, or the phrase is like this, and you know, where is it? I don't know. But let me find out. Or I think I know. Or sometimes, yay, I know. Because I spent time on the couch. He wants to counsel us. So you'll be hated, you'll be counseled. And the third thing is this. You will testify. That's what he says. And you also must testify. For you have been with me. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you will be hated. Okay? But you will be counseled, so take good cheer. Hallelujah. And you will testify because you have been with me. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, that means you are in relationship with him. You have been with him. And we need to continue to be with him. And we will testify. Whether it is in word or whether it is in deed. Hopefully it's in both. Because we can do a lot of nice things. But sometimes people just go, boy, they're nice. And I don't know why, but they're really nice. They need to know who transformed us, who changes us, who grows us, who we can live among people and they can watch us do something that seems to be very contrary to who Jesus is and be able to walk back and humbly say, you know what, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That was wrong of me. Not, I'm sorry, but you know, I've had a rough day, and I've had this, and had that, and we give all the excuses why we're justified to do something wrong. No! It's just, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. I'll tell you what, that testimony speaks loud to a lot of people, because that is not common. Being humble with people. Being humble with people. I said that softly. Being humble with people. So say this with me. As a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, I will be hated. But I will be counseled. And I will testify. It's not fun to say I'll be hated because I don't want us to be focused on something that seems to be so negative, but it is the reality of the spiritual conflict and war that is in place. Okay? I got news for you. Whether you believe in Jesus Christ or you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're still going to be hated. So let's be hated for the right reason. Because we are saved by him and following after him. And we begin to follow him and do things his way. So, once again, I will be, but I will be, and I will. Why did he share that with them? Why did he share that with them? I mean, these are Jesus' words. Okay, disciples, I love you. You followed me around. You've seen people heal, and he gathers them together, and he says, so I want to share something with you before I leave, because, you know, he tells them that he's going to be going away. And he gathers them around and says, you know, because in closing words, like if you picture people around maybe your bed, and the lights are about to go out, and you're going to go on into eternity, you want to share something with them, right? I mean, you got your consciousness. You want to share something. You want to tell them you love them. You want to. So these are some of Jesus' closing words to them. And these are the things he chose to tell them. So get around here. I want to share with you some great news. You're going to be hated. But take good cheer because when you're going to be hated, you're going to be hated because they hated me first. And they hate my Father. But you take good cheer. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And He's going to counsel you. He's going to give you wisdom and power. Oh, yeah. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then He says, you will testify. Because you have been with me from the beginning. Go and tell the story. Go and tell. Tell what my Father has done. Tell what I've done. People are saved. People will be redeemed. Those who hate you, who believe, will become those who are your brothers and sisters who will love you. He says, I tell you all of this so that you, disciples, so I tell you this so that you will not go astray. I'm not guessing that. He said it. Chapter 16, verse 1. Right after he's done, he says, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. I'm telling you what's ahead so that when it comes, you don't become frantic. You don't lose your mind and you don't give up on the faith. I'm telling you now that you are going to run into some people who hate you. They dislike what you represent and the way you do things. You're throwing, you know, you're raining on their parade. You're preaching righteousness and being kind. And they want to oppress people and be selfish and take advantage and do it all under deception. He says, listen, this is going to come. So I'm telling you this now so that when it comes, you'll be able to look back on this day and say, oh yeah, Jesus told me that I would be hated. They wouldn't like Him, so therefore they wouldn't like me. Oh yeah. Then it doesn't throw us for a loop. We don't go, oh no, what am I going to do? I'm not being a good witness. No. Oh, no good. Maybe God doesn't love me. I want them to be happy. He says, I'm telling you this now so that when it comes, you can look back on this moment so it doesn't throw you for a loop and you don't go astray, but you keep the faith and you understand that the Holy Spirit is there to counsel you and give you wisdom and give you power and give you all that I am so that you would be able to overcome and that you would be a good testimony among people. Let's stand up together, please, in this place. Some of you in this room, you're high on the people pleasing. And I want you to know it is a great gift, and I am glad for you. But you be careful that it does not throw you into some tailspin when somebody doesn't approve of you because of Jesus in your life. They don't approve of you. Listen. You care about what God thinks. And some of you in this room, you're so much on the page that I don't care what anybody thinks. You need to be transformed. Because Jesus cared what people thought. Because He knows that what they thought affected their decisions and how they responded to Him and how they respond to His Father. So, don't be so rogue that you're just out doing your own thing if nobody likes it too bad. And yet you're wearing the name Christian. We're not to live on those extremes. We're supposed to live on the line of perfection, which is Jesus Christ. And so you know what? What people think of you does matter. But if they hate you because of Jesus, then you got nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. And it takes the pressure off you. It takes the pressure off you. Let's recognize that. There might be some people within the church who don't like you. Make sure that they don't like you for the right reason. And if it's because you are becoming like Jesus, that's all right. Remember, the ones who dislike Jesus the most or God's people, the religious sector. Yeah. Let's not fool ourselves. There are some who confess Christ and believe in Him as Savior, but they never enter the call of discipleship to be transformed, that their attitude would change, and that they would become like Him. And as others do it around, understand that the facade of religiosity will always look down on the genuine believer who's following Christ. Always. That's what always happened. That's what always happened. You read these pages. So you know what? Let's be genuine disciples. Let's be a life-giving church because we are following after the one who gives life. All right? Let's testify. Let's listen to His counsel. Not our counsel. Listen to His counsel. His words. Because you know what? He chose you. And He didn't choose you to fail. He didn't choose you to go astray. He chose you because He loves you. And He sends His Holy Spirit to speak to you and to me. He's got a purpose for you, and He wants you to testify.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.